This morning, our Old Testament scripture reading is Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and in those who hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord.
Well, again, good morning and happy Christmas Eve. We are looking at Psalm 147 this morning, and we're thinking about really the first five verses of this psalm, but I wanted y'all to hear the whole thing, and I wanted us to think this morning about Advent and the importance of this time of year. Also wanted us to recognize that the Psalms, especially the end of the book of Psalms, is about praising the Lord. And I hope this morning, as Christmas Eve morning and we're celebrating together, is a time for you to celebrate, to party, to rejoice and to be glad because of what God has done. And even more than because of what he's done, who he is. That is, Alan was reading that psalm. This is God. We celebrate today because of God. Because of him giving us his son. Because of the great things that he has done. And even more than that, because of who he is. And this is where Psalm 148 leads us. Well, I'll ask all of you adults, just like I asked the kids, of a good party that you've been to. And maybe for some of you, it's been a while, so you're ready. You've got a couple of opportunities here before the end of the year. How do you know it's a good party? How do you know that you enjoyed that party? Maybe it's because people were singing. Maybe it was music. Maybe it was because you got to tell a story or somebody told a story on you. Maybe it was because you were with people that you love and you were able to really enjoy your time. Here's what I know about good parties. It's a celebration. Something has happened. I've had several of these at my house this year with graduations. That these are times to celebrate. These are times to enjoy. I want us to also see that Christmas is a time to celebrate. Christmas is a time for us to be able to enjoy God forever and to know that he has given us this freedom to celebrate that we're loved by him, to celebrate that we're forgiven, to celebrate that we're alive in Christ. And to celebrate that God sent us his son. What better news? This is a great reason for us to celebrate and to have a party. And so this morning I want to look at two main things on the first five verses of Psalm 147. And if you guys would pop that slide up for me. Two things that we are to do to celebrate God. First of all, is sing to God. And then secondly, is to reflect on the redemption of God. Think with me for a second about singing to God. And whoever's doing the slides, I think it's Mark. You don't have to keep up with me on this one. I'll do it here. Verse 1, praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant. A song of praise is fitting. So notice, praise, praise, sing. Verse 7, sing to the Lord. Make melody to God on the lyre. Verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. And then at the end again in verse 20, praise the Lord. What's Psalm 147 telling us to do? Sing. Sing to God. Praise God. Ligon Duncan said this, the psalmist is piling up motivations for us to sing to God. He's telling us how to do it, and he's also telling us why to do it. He's not just saying you should sing, which he is, but he's saying sing because. Sing to God, as verse 2 says, because God builds up Jerusalem. God builds his church. Sing to God because God gathers the outcast of Israel. He gathers in his people. So we should sing to him. We should sing to God and praise him because he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. We should sing to God because he determines the number of the stars, because he created everything. We should sing to God, as verse 5 says, because God is great. And God is abundant in power, and his understanding is beyond measure. I love that. I love that we don't understand God. Now, some things we do. We understand love. We understand goodness. But we don't understand eternal. We don't understand infinite. We don't understand unchanging, but this is who he is, beyond us. And so we sing to him. We lift him up. We praise him. Why else? Because he's good. Because he loves us as his people. Because he is worthy of our praise. And during Christmas, again, we remember that God is so good that he gives to us. Why will we give Christmas presents? Why will we say, yes, I want to, you know, help somebody or lend a helping hand and be charitable during this time? Why? Because we've been given. Because God decided in his own goodness to give us his son. To say, here's the greatest gift that anyone could ever give. All of these reasons we celebrate, we sing, we raise high the name of our Lord. Can you imagine being there on Christmas if you were a shepherd sitting in the field and it was night, it was dark? You had worked hard all day, watching sheep, taking care of sheep. I know this about sheep because my boys work on a farm. Sheep are not easy to take care of. They're kind of a pain, honestly. They're dirty, but you were taking care of sheep all day. And then you're sitting around the fire with some of the other shepherds. And you got to know that the shepherds were not allowed in society. They were dirty people. They were usually criminals. So they're sitting around. And then as it's midnight dark, all of a sudden It is now noon bright. The sky is lit up. And there are angels singing all around, saying, Jesus is born. The King has been born. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the singing and how it went from dark and silent to light and beautifully loud? This is what happened on Christmas. And the invitation here of the psalmist is, we too sing. We sing this morning with the angels. When we sing these praises to God, we join the chorus and the choir of others all around us to sing of this newborn King. The psalmist tells us to praise the Lord. He also goes on to say that this is fitting in verse 1. It's pleasant to praise the Lord, but it's the right thing to do. It's good. Charles Spurgeon said, it is good to sing to God because it's right. Good because it's acceptable with God and beneficial to ourselves, our own souls, and stimulating to others. Whether you think you're a good singer or not, when you sing here in worship, it helps you and it helps the people around you. I love sitting over here where I sit because the people behind me are good singers. It's encouraging. It stimulates our soul. And if we're honest, we know that music really does change the way we feel. Have you ever been sad and listened to music and it made you happy and awakened your soul? My boys do this all the time before they go to the gym. They get pumped up, right? Music affects us. And when we sing, it's even more. It's not just us listening. It's now us declaring. And singing affects people around us as well. Again, put yourself there, that you're a shepherd. The angels say Jesus is born, and then you go see him. You walk in, and you see the Lord sitting in a laying in a manger. There's Mary. There's Joseph. How do you respond? What do you do? Do you fall down and bow down? Do you cry? Or do you sing? I think any of those is good and appropriate, and he says here is fitting. But I hope that sooner or later you would sing over him. And to know that the newborn King, the King of all the world and all of history, is right before you. This is the response, and this is where the psalmist, even 1,000 years before, is telling us this. At the end of our service today, we'll sing Joy to the World. It's one of my favorites, and it's the one that I want to sing every Christmas. And this hymn was written by Isaac Watts in the 1700s. And he tells us again, joy to the world, the Lord is come. And he goes on to say, let heaven and nature sing. This is where joy comes. This is where joy goes out. It's through us singing to God, to praise him, to declare this, to encourage people around us as we sing to God. Isaac Watts said it in the 1700s, and also more recently, Buddy the Elf said it. And if you don't know who that is, then I want to apologize ahead of time because you need to go watch this movie, Elf. What's the best way to spread Christmas cheer? Thank you, George. That's right. singing loud for all to hear. He's singing. He doesn't sing well as he says those words, but he's singing. We learn this. We know this. And this Christmas, what I hope you'll do is do it. Sing to the Lord. It's a very simple application this Christmas. Sing loudly. Sing because you've been blessed. You're rich in Christ. And you have every reason this morning to sing. Also, notice this is one way we celebrate, and a very important way to celebrate God. The second way that the psalmist leads us to celebrate God is to reflect on the redemption of God. Now, if you go to a good party and people are comfortable, they'll probably start telling stories. And sometimes this time of year starts to bring out these stories. I'm going to a party tonight with old friends that I've known since 2007. And in this party, we get together and we do it every Christmas Eve. And there will be stories that will be told, some stories I might not like, because they tell stories on me, but I also get the opportunity to tell stories back. It's something we do to reflect. And in this psalm, we see again that Jesus is the main reason of the story. And God is telling his story here in Psalm 147 in the first five verses. Look with me again at verse 4. As we think about where the story of God began, what did he do in the beginning? Verse 4 says, he determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. God created everything. He created all the stars. And the psalmist also says, with the work of his finger. Can you imagine how big God is, that he's creating all things, all these stars, with his finger? It's just a way to say that he is that big, he is that powerful. How many stars are there? No one knows. NASA doesn't know, scientists don't know. They kind of throw out this number. And they'll say approximately and about. And I did a little research. Currently, scientists believe there are 300 septillion stars. So 300 followed by 24 zeros. A trillion trillion. And that's what they think. Because no one knows. This is God. And God made every one of them. And as verse 4 says here, and he knows their names. He named them all. And y'all know this. There are more galaxies, there's more stuff out there than we know. And we can't get to it. God knows it. God made it. God is sustaining it. He didn't just create it and say, uh-oh. He's controlling it. This is God, the Creator. And this is his story, and we reflect on him. And he made all of these things out of nothing. The good Latin theological term, ex nihilo. He didn't have some stuff and make it. He spoke it into being. This is God. He created everything. And then he goes on in verse 3 to also say, but yet he cares about the brokenhearted. And he brings redemption to people. Y'all know the story. God created everything. He created Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve sinned and fell. But then after that, God started the work of redemption. and said that he would send his son to bring redemption. And this really is the big story of all things, the big story of history: creation, fall, redemption. This is what God is doing. And he's bringing us as his people out of this sin. He's redeeming us and making our lives new. He's binding us up. He's bandaging us, is literally what this verse means. Again, Charles Spurgeon said, "Come, broken hearts, come to the physician who never fails to heal." This is the redemption of God. And then we know that this redemption happened by him saying and promising in the Old Testament and then delivering in the New Testament his son, the Messiah. This is the beauty of the gospel that we celebrate this Christmas Eve, is that Jesus Christ came and lived the perfect life and died the death that you and I should have died because of our sin, and is risen and is redeeming his people. The big story here that we reflect on this Christmas and all the time is that God loves sinners like us. That Jesus Christ came for the brokenhearted, for those in need. And he redeems and restores. And we also know he doesn't just stop with restoration. He goes on here, or with redemption. He goes on to also restoration. And we see that here in verse 2. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. What's God doing? He's redeeming us personally, right? Sanctification, making us more like Jesus. But he's also restoring his people, the church. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. Israel, when we talk about Israel, is a picture of the church. The Old Testament Israel is the New Testament church. And he's gathering his people and building his church. And the building and gathering of God's people is also the foreshadowing of what he's going to do. Because soon there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Soon we will not be here. We will be in a different place. Soon we will be in the holy city. The new Jerusalem, as Revelation 21 says. Revelation 21:3 says this, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away.'" Y'all, soon and very soon, we will all be home for Christmas. We will be in our home that we long for forever because of what God has done, because he's good, because he loves sinners and redeems us. My encouragement to you this morning is to think about that. Reflect on that. To reflect on where your life is going. And to reflect this morning on the miracle of salvation that is done for us, because God loved us so much that he sent his son to live for us and to die for us. So here's your application from the sermon this morning. Party. Enjoy. Celebrate. If you are in Christ this morning, you're the richest person on the face of the planet. You have everything. So rejoice and be glad. Sing to the Lord, reflect on what he has done, and let's celebrate Christmas together. Let me pray. Lord, thank you this morning for how good you are. Thank you that you give us reason this morning to celebrate that we as your people can come and say again to you and sing again to you that you are good, you are forgiving, you are loving, and you are redeeming us. And we long for the day where we will be together with you in heaven. I pray this morning for everyone here, Lord, that we can again reflect on how good you are and celebrate your goodness together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.